Following are comments on Shakespeare's Titus Andronicus, Act 2. The woods are ruthless, dreadful, deaf, and dull. Erin the Moor, Tamora's lover, exults in her success. Erin quells the fighting between her sons Chiron and Demetrius over Lavinia, and helps them plot to rape her. In Act 2, Scene 2, the hunting party gets underway. In Act 2, Scene 1, Erin is exultant at Tamora's advancement because it means great rewards for him, not only in terms of wealth, but also personal pride. He will, quote-unquote, be bright and shine in pearl and gold, but more than that, he will, quote-unquote, wanton with this queen, who promises to be the ruin of the hated Romans and their emperor. Act 2, Scene 1, lines 19 and 21. Erin even compares his impressive lover to the ancient semi-divine Assyrian ruler Semiramis, whose rule as a female would have been profoundly transgressive within her nation, and whose exploits were the subject of ancient authors such as Plutarch, Diodorus Siculus, and Eusebius. Chiron and Demetrius enter the second act at their most rash and immature, squabbling and drawing their swords on each other. Erin steers them away from this behavior and turns their energies towards something useful to him and Tamora. When he realizes both young men are smitten with Lavinia, he declares slyly, quote-unquote, "Why then, it seems, some certain snatch or so would serve your turns," and broaches to them a scheme whereby they may both ravish her. Act 2, Scene 1, lines 96 through 97. Chiron and Demetrius don't even realize that Erin is insulting them. His assumption is that their only chance of success is to rape Lavinia. Courtship would prove fruitless. Says Erin the strategist, quote unquote, "The woods are ruthless, dreadful, deaf, and dull." Act 2, Scene 1, line 129. He means that the woods can function as gigantic sound dampeners, absorbing in silence the savage crime these young men now intend to commit against Lavinia. Nothing like what they have in mind would be possible within the court's walls, which Erin calls a, quote-unquote, house of fame, the palace full of tongues, of eyes, and ears. Act 2, Scene 1, lines 127 through 128. They will all conspire with Tamora to refine the plot. It is not the animals in this wood that are vicious, it's the people. Chiron approves of Erin's advice, and Demetrius agrees as well, doing so in a pastiche of English and Latin. Quote unquote, "Sit fas aut nefas, till I find the stream to cool this heat, a charm to calm these fits. Per stugia per manes wehor." Act 2, Scene 1, lines 134 through 136. Translated, this means that whether what they're doing is right or wrong, Demetrius feels as if he is being dragged through hell itself. The Norton editor notes that the latter quotation is drawn from Seneca's tragedy Hippolytus. The young Goth's fondness for Latin citations reminds us that this is a play filled with polyglot cosmopolitan characters, not quote-unquote civilized Romans and primitive so-called others. Act 2, Scene 2, tells us of the hunting party's beginning. Demetrius speaks privately to his brother about the sport they both have in mind. Quote-unquote, "Chiron, we hunt not, we, with horse nor hound, but hope to pluck a dainty doe to ground." Act 2, Scene 2, lines 25 through 26. This reinforces our sense of the unwholesome melding of human traits with animal traits that pervades this play. "The worse to her, the better loved of me." Bassianus and Lavinia discover Tamora and insult her. Chiron and Demetrius kill Bassianus and rape and mutilate Lavinia with Tamora's approval. Erin uses a forged letter and buried gold to dupe Saturninus into arresting Titus's sons, Martius and Quintus, who have fallen into the pit where Bassianus's body lies. In Act 2, Scene 3, Tamara and Aaron converse in the woods, with Aaron counseling sexual restraint while revenge is yet to be had. Aaron admonishes his lover, quote-unquote, "Madam, though Venus govern your desires, Saturn is dominator over mine." Act 2, Scene 3, lines 30 through 31. Then, Bassianus and Lavinia discover Tamara and insult her at length. Act 2, Scene 3, lines 55 through 87 inclusive. Aaron brings back Chiron and Demetrius, who kill Bassianus and dump him in a pit. Modern audiences will no doubt find it unsettling that Lavinia and Bassianus seem to be set up for the crimes committed against them by their own high-handed treatment of Tamara. Both characters hector the Empress in a racially charged manner, mocking her for having a Moorish lover and for being so sexually unrestrained. This entire scene might have been played to emphasize the innocence of Lavinia and Bassianus, and thereby heighten the depravity of the crimes committed against them, but nothing in this play is allowed to remain so simple. Chiron and Demetrius rape and mutilate Lavinia, with Tamara's explicit and sadistic approval. Act 2, Scene 3, lines 114 through 15. Tamara mocks Lavinia's appeals to feminine compassion, reminding all present of Titus's utter lack of compassion for her own heart-rending pleas in support of her son. Act 2, Scene 3, lines 161 through 165. She admonishes Chiron and Demetrius, quote-unquote, "the worse to her, the better loved of me." Act 2, Scene 3, line 167. Then Tamara goes off to enjoy herself sexually with Aaron while the deed is done. Act 2, Scene 3, lines 190 through 191. This is a horrifying but fascinating moment in terms of Shakespeare's representation of Roman history. We know that the Roman Republic was founded upon the exploitation of the rape of the virtuous Roman matron Lucretia by Sextus Tarquinius, the son of the last Tarquin king, Lucius Tarquinius Superbus. We know, too, that Greek civilization was grounded in acts of violence against women. Zeus as the swan violating Leda, and the sacrifice of Iphigenia so that the Greek fleet could make its way to Troy. Helen of Sparta is at the center of the most violent foundational moment in Greek history, the Trojan War. Here we have Tamara, a powerful woman and a so-called barbarian woman at that, joining in and directing such violence herself, partly against another woman. Dim-witted Saturninus is easily duped by Aaron's forged letter and planted bag of gold into thinking that Titus's sons Martius and Quintus have murdered Bassianus. Act 2, Scene 3, lines 281 through 285. They are dragged from the pit into which they've fallen and brought to prison. Tamara pretends to Titus that she will yet again assist him, but we know it's another clever lie in the service of wiping out the Andronici. Act 2, Scene 3, lines 304 through 305. But sure some Tereus hath deflowered thee. Marcus finds his ravished and mutilated niece, Lavinia, in the woods, and likens her to Ovid's similarly violated Philomel. Marcus determines that he must now inform her father, Titus. In Act 2, Scene 4, Titus's brother Marcus finds Lavinia and wonders what has happened. Waxing poetical, he likens the scene to the story of Tereus, Procne, and Philomel. Quote unquote, "But sure, some Tereus hath deflowered thee." Act 2, Scene 4, line 26. "Worse yet," he says, "the ravishers have intensified the dastardly practice of the original." Quote unquote, "He hath cut those pretty fingers off that could have better sewed than Philomel." Act 2, Scene 4, lines 42 through 43. Marcus will escort Lavinia into the presence of her father, whom she will afflict with the sight of a ruined daughter, as if he hadn't suffered enough already. As usual, the reference to misery is harshly physical. Quote unquote, "Come, let us go and make thy father blind." Act 2, Scene 4, line 52. Disturbingly, Marcus, though clearly horror-stricken at the crime committed against his niece, does little to try to mitigate her suffering. He spends his time at the scene offering a long-winded literary gloss on the crime and the suffering young woman before him. It's no help to Lavinia that Marcus asks her, quote unquote, "What stern, ungentle hands hath lopped and hewed and made thy body bare of her two branches?" Act 2, Scene 4, lines 16 through 18. Thanks for listening. This audio lecture was recorded on Wednesday, January 14th, 2026. The foregoing material is copyright 2026 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition, 4-volume genre-based format.